Chapter 5, Section 2, Atonement. After eating of the fruit, the first thing that Adam and Eve did was to clothe themselves in fig leaves. In spite of having these clothes, Adam told God that he felt naked, exposed. There is a reason for this. The Bible tells us that
the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7.
God was looking right through their feeble attempts to clothe themselves. He could see their hearts. The Bible tells us that God rejected Adam and Eve's attempts at self-improvement. The fig leaves covered their nakedness, but their hearts were full of sin. He wanted to teach them that man could do nothing outwardly or inwardly to remove the sin problem. So, he refused to accept their fig leaf clothes. Only God could supply them with clothing that was acceptable to him. God took animals, killed them, and
the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Genesis 3:21.
This was a graphic illustration of the fact that sin brings death. Adam and Eve had never seen death before. It must have been a jarring experience as they watched the blood spilled on the ground, saw the gasping for life, watched the shine pass from the animal's eye, and comprehended the finality. God made the awful reality of death understandable to them immediately. Animals died in order that they might be clothed. Although man had sinned, he still lived in the garden and had access to the tree of life. Eating of this tree would mean that man would live forever. So God removed man from the garden.
And the Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Genesis 3:22-24.
This was an act of mercy. God did not want men to live forever entrapped as sinners. Can you imagine what the world would be like if all the evil men and women down through the ages were still alive today? By putting man outside of the garden, God allowed the consequences of sin to take its eventual toll, namely physical death. But God was thinking beyond the grave. He was thinking of his plan to deliver man from the second death, a way to escape the lake of fire. This verse is also significant for another reason. Notice how it says,
"And the Lord God said, 'The man has now become like one of us.'"
Notice the word "us." It is a reminder that God is a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but only one God.
Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother, Abel. Genesis 4:1-2a.
Both Cain and Abel were born outside of the garden with no access to the tree of life. Because they had been conceived as a result of Adam's union with Eve, they had Adam's nature, a sinful human nature. Cain and Abel were also separated from God by their sin. For God to be just, he must enforce his law. Cain and Abel also had to die for their sin. But God loved them, and so, in his mercy, he provided a way for them to escape judgment. At the same time, God revealed his plan to bridge the gulf caused by sin, to restore the broken relationship. It would be done in God's way and on his terms. Cain and Abel were told to take an animal and kill it and let its blood run out on an altar, a platform of stones on which sacrifices were made. Why was this? The very thought of animal sacrifices strikes most of us as horrible, repulsive. What conceivable reason would God have for such an explicit instruction? The Scripture says,
"Without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness." Hebrews 9:22b.
God was saying that man's sin debt could only be paid or forgiven if there was death. Normally, man would die for his own sin, but now, based on certain future events, God was saying that he would accept an animal's death in man's place as a substitute. So an animal was to be killed and its blood shed. But there was more.
"For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life." Leviticus 17:11.
God's instructions in this verse are very important for two reasons. First, the death of the animal graphically illustrated what God's law demanded. Sin demands death. The sacrifice pictured the law of sin and death being obeyed and justice being fulfilled. Second, God said that the shed blood would make atonement for sin. The word atonement means covering. The shed blood would cover man's sin. Therefore, when God looked at man, he would no longer see the sin. Man would be viewed as right with God, and God in his holiness could then accept man. The relationship would be restored. Sacrificing an animal on an altar did not take away the sin. Man was still sinful. The sacrificed animal only provided a covering for sin and pictured what was necessary for sin to be forgiven: death and shedding of blood. In the same way that God had covered Adam and Eve's nakedness with acceptable clothing made of skins, now man's sins would be covered by the blood of animals that had died in his place. Sacrificing the animal on the altar was an outward demonstration of an inner reality, the inward fact that man was trusting God. It was because man was trusting God that God provided a way of escape from judgment, and man could be restored to a right relationship with him. Man would still die physically as a result of sin, but the eternal consequences, separation from God and punishment in the lake of fire, would no longer apply. Through faith in God, as demonstrated by the death and the atoning blood on the altar, man would find forgiveness for sin and a new relationship with God. With God's instructions clear in our minds, we'll return to the story.
"Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock." Genesis 4:2b through 4a.
Cain and Abel both brought sacrifices to the Lord. This is what God had told them to do. God wanted them to show by their actions that they were putting confidence, faith, in his word as being true. But there was a problem. Though they were both bringing sacrifices, there was a disparity. Abel brought an animal which could be killed and the blood shed. That was good. That was what God had said to do. But Cain brought garden produce. Vegetables do not shed blood. Cain was offering a sacrifice, but it was the wrong one. He had come up with his own version of the fig leaves.
"The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor." Genesis 4, 4b and 5a.
God rejected Cain's sacrifice. Cain erred in two ways. First, his heart wasn't in it. His actions revealed that he really didn't have faith in God's instructions, his word. It's not enough to just go through the motions. One must have a genuine conviction, an implicit confidence in God's word as being trustworthy, that what God says is true. Secondly, Cain erred in that he did things his own way, basing his actions on his own reasoning as to how to please God. But God doesn't accept personal ideas on how to get right with Him. Man may have all the best intentions in the world, but sincerity is not enough. It does not bridge the gap. So Cain had it all wrong. It was not enough to mechanically perform God's instructions. He should have come God's way, resting in God's word as being true. On the other hand, Abel offered the kind of sacrifice that God had commanded, an animal that would die and shed blood. Abel deserved to die for his own sin, but God in His mercy allowed the animal to die in his place as an atoning sacrifice. Abel was placing his faith in God's word, that it was true, and that God would keep His promises. God was pleased that Abel was trusting Him alone. The Bible says,
"By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings." Hebrews 11, 4a.
Because Abel's sins were atoned for, covered by the shed blood, when God looked at Abel, He did not see his sin. He saw Abel as a righteous man. As for Cain, he wasn't happy with God.
Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Genesis 4, 5b through 7.
God tried to reason with Cain, even though he didn't deserve it. Cain had ignored God's instructions. Why should God give him any consideration? But God is gracious, and He gently tried to show Cain that he was headed for trouble. He pointed out to Cain that he too would be accepted if he came the same way Abel had come. There is no record of Cain replying. He was sulking.
Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" Genesis 4, 8 and 9a.
Remember how God quizzed Adam and Eve? Well, here we see God asking questions again. God knows everything. He knew exactly what had happened. He was giving Cain a chance to come clean. But just like Adam and Eve, Cain's words revealed his heart. When God asked Cain where his brother was, Cain said,
"I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" God replied, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Genesis 4, 9b and 10.
Sin cannot be hid. Cain had murdered his righteous brother and then tried to wrangle his way out of a confession. God put His finger on Cain. "You did it!" There is no record of Cain ever expressing remorse for his actions. God could have destroyed him, but in His mercy, He banished him to another region. The human race had gotten off to a scandalous start.
Adam lay with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth, saying, "God has granted me another child in place of Abel, since Cain killed him." Seth also had a son and named him Enosh. At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. Genesis 4:25 and 26.
Though Seth was born with a sin nature, he trusted God's word just like Abel. It was through Seth and his descendants that God would send the promised deliverer, the anointed one. God was keeping His promise. Well, it's time to leave Adam. The Bible says he had a large family and lived to be extremely old. Some scholars have proposed the idea that the greenhouse effect of the original creation would have shielded man from harmful cosmic rays, allowing for the incredible lifespans recorded in early history. This is certainly a possibility. It's also true that the snowballing effect of mutating viruses and bacteria resulting in disease and illness would have been in its infancy, allowing for a longer lifespan. Whatever the reason, the Bible says that God's word finally came true for Adam.
After Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Adam lived 930 years, and then he died. Genesis 5, 4 and 5.
Before we continue on with the story, we will stop to answer a couple of questions. It is sometimes asked, who did Seth and Cain marry? The Bible says Adam and Eve had other sons and daughters. It is implied that at this point in history, brothers and sisters would have married each other. Mutant genes would not yet have had time to develop in the genetic pool shared by the children. Therefore, no harmful effects would have resulted from this kind of intermarriage. Later in the history of the Bible, we see intermarriage forbidden. Another common question has to do with what happened to Abel's spirit when he died. Though the Bible does not explicitly mention where Abel's spirit went when he was murdered, we know from other scriptures that those who died at this time in history went to a place called paradise, a place God prepared for believing men and women. Though some Bible scholars view paradise as having been a different place than heaven, all agree that they are now synonymous. The Bible does not tell us a lot about heaven, but what it does say is wonderful. In many ways, heaven will be like Eden, only better. It says,
no longer will there be any curse. Revelation 22:3.
Man's sin nature will be gone.
Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the book of life. Revelation 21:27.
Man's relationship with God will be restored.
Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Revelation 21:3-5a. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal flowing from the throne of God. Revelation 22:1. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Revelation 22:5.
At least part of heaven will be occupied by a large walled city built of precious metal and priceless stones. It has been calculated that if only 25% of the city was used, 20 billion people could be accommodated spaciously. The scripture also tells of a future time where all nature will live in harmony.
The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. Isaiah 11:6-7.
There is obviously an infinite amount of information we do not know about this future place, but the Bible does tell us this.
No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9.